I'm reading from Psalm 25, verses 1 through 7. And this is in preparation for us to confess our sins to the Lord. Listen to the psalmist. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous, without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth, and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord.
Our scripture reading from the New Testament is found in Ephesians 3, 1-19. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. This is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. May the Lord bless you in this word.
When my children were small, we used to play a little game. And I used to say, I love you. And I say, do you love me? And they say, yes. I say, do I love you this much? Have you played this game? And they say, no. Do I love you this much? And they say, no. And I say, do I love you this much? They say, yes. And everyone's happy. How many of you probably have had that conversation with a little one from time to time? How big is God's love for you? Does God love you this much? Does he love you this much? Does he love you this much? The Bible tries to describe the love of God with adjectives. I went through and looked at the adjectives in the Bible. His love is described as unfailing love, abounding love, great love, eternal love, wonderful love, enduring love, faithful love, and inseparable love. It's interesting that in the Old Testament, there are so many verses. It is filled with references of God's love for you. But when you get to the New Testament, it's interesting if you go through and you look at it, it's filled more with admonitions of our loving God and one another. There are two great, wonderful exceptions in the New Testament that describe God's love for us. One is Ephesians 3, 17 through 19, that we heard earlier. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow. Those words we sang just a few minutes ago, I love those words. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. If you know the Word of God, you know that God is a God of love. And if you know the Word of God, you know that God loves you. At least you know that in your head. But the question is, do you know that in your heart? How many of you remember the Academy Awards presentation years ago when Sally Field was presented an Oscar and she said, "You like me. You really like me." You remember that? It was on the news. People made fun of her for a long time for this strange acceptance speech. But you know why she said that? You see, several years earlier, she had also won an Oscar. She won a second Oscar. And this time she was saying, "You told me you liked me before, but I didn't feel it. Now you've given me a second award. Now I feel it. I own it. You really like me." Wow. My father was a man who was not very loving. He didn't know how to express love. The way he expressed love for his wife and his daughter and son is that he gave us things. He was able to make money, and so he just spent money on us, and he gave us things. You know what? I grew up starving for him to say, "I love you." I grew up starving to feel that my dad loved me. I longed for him to just say it. And it was reciprocal. It worked both ways. I don't recall very often saying to him, "Dad, I love you." But I do remember one remarkable memory when I did say that to him. My father had a stroke. He was in the hospital for 6 weeks before he died. During that time, he could not speak. He could not communicate. I flew to North Carolina, and I sat on the edge of his bed. I was in my 30s. And I took his hand, and I said, "Dad, I love you. Dad, if you understand what I'm saying, would you squeeze my hand or blink your eyes?" And he did neither. And I don't know what he comprehended. And I regret to this day that I waited to say, "Dad, I love you." I can't change that. Is there anyone in here who can identify? A few years later, my mother came to visit Elizabeth and me. We were living in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I had a lunch alone with my mom, and I said, "Mom, I have a question for you." "Yes," I said. "Did Dad love me?" She, "What? Why are you asking me if your dad loved you? Of course he loved you. He was good to you. He gave you a lot of things." I said, "Yes, Mom, I know, but did Dad really love me?" "Harry." And then she waited, and the tears began to come. And she said, "Your father did not know how to express love to anyone. But I'm sure he loved you." I dropped the conversation there because her answer did not convince me. And I wanted so much to be convinced. There are many people who do not know for sure that their earthly father loves them or loved them. And when they go through life carrying that cross, that burden, it's hard for them to understand and grasp how a perfect heavenly father could possibly love them. My guess is that I'm looking at some of them right now. It's very common. It's very difficult to accept the fact that God is perfect and he loves you. Some people have tremendous problems with men, with male authority, because they have not seen love come from men. You men who are still breathing, it's not too late. The people whose hearts are wounded cannot understand a love that is unfailing, abounding, great, eternal, wonderful, enduring, faithful, or inseparable. But God does love you. He doesn't love you because you're valuable. You are valuable because he loves you. Hallelujah! Years ago, Elizabeth and I were in a revival service, except that we didn't call them revivals in the Presbyterian church. We called them preaching missions. But it was a revival, and the pastor was talking about this very subject, and he kept using a phrase over and over, and it almost sounded like God himself was asking this question. And he said this, "I love you. Is that okay? Is that okay?" Can you accept the fact that God loves you? Is it okay to allow him to wrap his arms around you and hug you tight and love you? Sometimes we just won't accept it. How tragic. It's worse than tragic. How selfish for you not to accept the love of God. There's a story of a woman who was coming home from a church service, and she was driving her car, and a great big truck came up behind her car at night, and the lights were shining in her rearview mirror. So she sped up a little bit to get that light out, but that truck sped up and got closer to her car. So she went faster, and the truck went faster. And the faster she went, the more the truck just kept barreling down on her car, and it began to make her nervous. She decided she would get off of the expressway and go into the neighborhoods. The truck followed her into the neighborhoods. She went down the main street of the town. The truck was following her right on her truck. She was terrified. So she stopped at a service station. She got out of her car. She started running into the service station, yelling. And the truck driver got out of his cab. He came running after her. But he stopped at her car. He opened the back door, and he grabbed a man out of the back seat who was hiding there, who wanted to do her harm. She couldn't see it from her vantage point, but from his truck he saw it. She was running from the wrong person. Are you running from the love of God? Then you're running from the wrong person. He's there for good, not for evil. He's there to rescue you from the hidden sins of your life and the obvious ones. His plans are to love you even when you run from him. I have a very good friend by the name of Barbara Tillman. Barbara was my administrative assistant at the National Christian Choir for a number of years, and she's a remarkable lady. She was born of missionary parents, and she absolutely loved and respected her mom and dad. Her father was a great, great man, her mother likewise. And Barbara tells a story that is so different from my personal relationship with my father and the way her father died and the way my father died. You see, after Barbara's mother went to be with the Lord, Barbara became the caregiver for her dad who was dying. He had to move into their home. She had to set up a bed in their living room where he lived for many months. And she was a caretaker. She had to quit her job, tremendous loss to me and to the choir, in order to be a caretaker for her dying father. She tells me that all day long, every day, he played CDs by the National Christian Choir. I like that. He was playing them even at the moment that he died. The family was with him in the living room. And on the CD player was a CD playing a song called Midnight Cry. Barbara said that her father started weeping. And she went over and she took his hand and she said, "Dad, what's wrong?" And he said through his tears, "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy." Barbara was sharing this story with me, and she said, "I've been taught that the more godly a person is on this side of heaven, that when they come to the moment of meeting their Savior, they feel their unworthiness even more. But the more worldly someone is on this side of heaven, when it comes time to meet their Maker, they meet their Maker with fear." A missionary, a loving man. "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy." And this is what was playing on the CD when he closed his eyes and took his last breath. "When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children, the dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air." Hallelujah! I found this little poem. It says, "God loves you this much, more sky than you can see, more seas than you can sail, more sun than you can bear to watch, more stars than you can scale, more breath than you can breathe, more yield than you can sow, more grace than you can comprehend, more love than you can know. The Apostle Paul described love this way. You know this very well. He said, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Oh my, am I convicted. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Our love fails. You and I may be lovers sometimes, but we're not perfect lovers. Our love is not abounding and great and eternal and wonderful and enduring and faithful and inseparable. At least not on this side of heaven. But I long to be made like Christ and to be that way. I close with this. There was a young woman who went to see a psychiatrist. And the doctor discovered that she was a wife and a mother of three children. And he said, which one of your three children do you love the most? Well, she said, I love them all the same. And she answered that question so quickly and glibly that he thought, oh, now I've got to probe this. He said, come on now, you have three children. How could you possibly love them all the same? I do. She said, I love them all the same. I'm sorry, but that's impossible for a human being to love any other human beings all the same. Get off it now. If you're going to be this way, I really can't help you, and we have to terminate this session. So she became very quiet, thoughtful, and she looked up at him, and he said, you know, you're right. I don't love them all the same. When one of them is sick, I love that one more. When one of them is in pain, I love that one more. When one of them is lost, I love that one more. When one of them is confused, I love that one more. When one of them is bad, and I don't mean naughty, I mean really bad, I love that child more. God loves every human being on this planet, and that includes you. But when you are sick, God loves you more. When you are in pain, God loves you more. When you are lost or confused, or when you're really bad, God loves you even more. Is that okay? Let us pray. Oh, loving God, your word tells us that your love is abounding and great, that your love is eternal and wonderful, enduring and faithful and inseparable. Thank you for your love. And thank you for loving us, Lord, when we are not very lovable. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Holy Father, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, thank you for giving us your love and far more. Thank you for sustaining us, providing for us. Lord, may we sustain your kingdom here on earth. May we provide also for your kingdom here on earth. May we be willing servants here on this side of heaven to do your will. We thank you now for this offering. We pray that you will bless it. with the power of your name. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Let us receive now the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you.